This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. If you told a teenage Stephanie Tyson that she would find her greatest success running a restaurant on Trade Street in Winston-Salem, she'd have told you to shut your mouth. She was headed for the bright lights of Broadway, leaving Winston-Salem far behind. That was long before she and her partner Vivian Joyner opened Sweet Potatoes on Trade Street in Winston-Salem. Today, critics and crowds alike flock to the downtown spot to get a taste of Stephanie's inspired Southern cooking. And this summer, the publication of her cookbook, Well, Shut My Mouth, solidified her success. Stephanie Tyson is going to take a break from the stove to join us here on the program. Welcome to State of
Things. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I know you've been back for several years now. You're headed to New York to do what?
Well, I went to New York initially to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which I auditioned for and got in. Head grew a little bit big, but there was bigger heads than mine in New York, so you know, I wasn't a star, so yeah. It was just very difficult.
You had to find work, and so you worked as a waitress for a while.
I did. I waited tables. I was a telemarketer.
That was you.
That was the one. Yeah. That's what they all are, actors, telemarketers. And I did a couple other things, and I eventually moved back with my little tail tucked between my legs, came back home briefly, and I worked as a copier. You know, I was doing, just trying to find my way. Winston-Salem back then was just, coming from New York, then moving back to Winston-Salem, it's like, okay, I lasted a year about.
And when was that, roughly?
What, 80-something?
Some in the 80s, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't the metropolitan place that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually moved to D.C., which is kind of like in between. You know, you got a little bit of Southern sensibility, a little bit of don't need to have a car, you know. So it kind of worked out. You know, so it was a good experience.
Now tell us about the decision to start a restaurant. Where did that come from?
Vivian and I, my partner, we've been working diligently for other restaurants. And Vivian worked in fast food, and I worked just country clubs and hotels. And at some point, you just get kind of tired of answering to people that you know are stupid, you know can't cook. You just get real tired. So it's like, you know, we can do that. My dad has a barn, so it was just about, you know, taking a chance or being willing to take a chance.
But take a chance and come back to that Winston-Salem that wasn't too cool in the mid-80s.
But it was changing. I guess I had missed something. We had an arts district, which I didn't know about. Trade Street in that area. My grandmother called Trade Street the Buzzard Roost. And so to see that it was growing and had businesses down there, and not, you know, bums and drunks. It still has a few, but not the way it was when we were growing up, because I wasn't allowed to go on Trade Street. Growing up, just kind of around it, that's where our downtown was. Yeah. So to see that it was growing and that Winston-Salem was kind of changing a little bit, I left because it was just so just stodgy and it was so much different.
Changing a little bit, a better environment, and yet your plan, as I understand it, was not what you would call a business plan for putting it together, the way you financed the thing.
No, I wouldn't recommend using credit cards, and you know, we put together mortgaging a house. That's probably not the best way to go about opening a business. But if you have confidence, which we did, in that what we wanted to do, unfortunately, we had more confidence than the bank did. You know, or places that are geared to, like, you know, give, you know, first-time business owners some sort of capital did not have any confidence in this at all. And the city had loans for upstart restaurants. They were trying to, like, create a restaurant row, which we weren't qualified for. And so their thing was, maybe you should, like, kind of tone it down. Maybe you should, like, maybe open a hamburger stand or something. They're very condescending.
What was it that didn't qualify? I don't get it.
Well, we didn't have – you had to have kind of matching funds.
Oh, I see. So it's financial qualifications.
Yeah.
Not anything about the recipes.
No, well, no. The business, they were thinking that we could probably make it if we, like, you know, didn't open a full-service restaurant, but, like, maybe a hot dog stand or something like that. We'd have a better shot at success, which it kind of ticks you off a little bit. So we – went off of what was initially Restaurant Row, which is 4th Street in Winston-Salem at the time, and took Trade Street. It's a lot cheaper, and there was no restaurants even close to coming to Trade Street. So we were the first restaurant, and we didn't have to have quite as much money because the landlord was very helpful in giving us at least a little bit of a head start on some of the construction. So that helped a lot. We just didn't need nearly as much money, and we could piece together the rest of it.
Well, tell us about the recipes and where you learned to cook.
My grandmother was a cook, and she cooked for white families around town, and I thought she was like the best cook in the world. I initially had no desire to cook. I like to eat. And so she was, I was right there with her. She fed me constantly, which explains a lot. Yeah, but she did feed me. And from that, I guess in your head, you're absorbing everything. And eventually I did go to culinary school in Baltimore and learned that I paid a lot of money for something that she'd already taught me. Mm. And so I kind of use both of those. What I learned from my grandmother, which was tasting, because she didn't read or write, so she didn't write anything down. So it's all about taste and smell. And I learned that, plus, you know, what to call things at culinary school and to make it look pretty.
And then you said your mother wasn't a particularly good cook.
Oh, my mom would be the first one to say she was out of the can into the pan. So I guess it skipped a generation. She warmed stuff up. Yeah.
As you said, when you went to your grandmother's house, there was always food around.
Always. I mean, I don't know how she managed to have chicken, fried chicken in an oven at what would be considered the ill temperature.
Yeah.
And nobody ever got sick.
Kind of mad,
you know, she always had food in her purse, like a fatback and biscuit wrapped in foil in her purse. She would always have food.
See, that is fantastic realism meets culinary art. That is fantastic. Well, let's talk about some of the recipes in this book. I want to start with how to fry chicken, because that is the big question. When you get to Southern food, that's the thing you got to get right first, isn't it?
Absolutely. My grandmother, now there's two chickens. I mean, we do like a buttermilk fried chicken at the restaurant. But my grandmother, she seasoned flour, bacon grease that was older than I was. She kept that can on the stove, and she always dropped a piece of fat back in the grease when she fried it. Unbelievably good. The best fried chicken, I don't do that. We can't do that now. We really can't. I wish we could, but we can't. Not every day, anyway.
You got to keep the grease in the refrigerator. Oh, that's all great. And then some other great recipes. A gullet stew, too. Tell us about that.
Well, no, Vivian's family, her father's from Hilton Head, which is, actually from Bluffton, which is right outside of Hilton Head. So there's a lot of gullet influence or low country influence on our menu. And that stew is sort of a little bit of gullet influence, a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
And tell us about gullet.
Gullet is the people in the low country, South Carolina, Savannah, that area, African descents. Gullet is the people and a language, which is a kind of a combination of some African dialect from, I guess, was Sierra Leone, that part of Africa. And so they brought that with them in that whole region, with this influence of rice, and the seafood.
Seafood, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a nice recipe. And then you've got some innovations in here, like spaghetti withdrawal. Is that it? Close?
Yeah, we do have a spaghetti withdrawal, which is spaghetti with Creole sauce and cream, and then fried chicken fingers on it, and with sausage and country ham, and we fry some spaghetti and put it on top. It's really good.
How much innovation did you feel you could do with this, and how much did you have to feel? Did you feel you had to stay, you know, true to the authentic Southern
well,
style?
It sometimes. I mean, that's the cool thing about owning a restaurant and running a kitchen. You know, you can pretty much play with it and within reason, you know, do what you want, which is why, you know, I wanted to do this in the first place, to give myself some freedom. But my intent is always to bring Southern food to the forefront. But you want to be a little creative without getting too far away from the base.
When did you open Sweet Potatoes?
We opened Sweet Potatoes 8.5 years ago. That was 2002. Vivian is
checking with Vivian. She's the keeper of the records.
She is keeper of the records and books.
So you started. Clearly, you were confident and you knew what you wanted to do and what you didn't want to do. Everybody's telling you this isn't going to work, and you're in a place that was growing but wasn't there yet. Things are a lot better than they are now than they were.
There's
then.
A lot more restaurants, which helps. I mean, people aren't very confident when you're the first.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier when there's more people around you. Right now, we have a lot of restaurants. Well, not a lot. We have a few more restaurants on Trade Street. So it's a little bit easier to get funds because, okay, people will come to Trade Street. And but being the first, people, kind of lacked confidence.
Were you surprised at how quickly your place got on? Because it really did.
Yes. We just prepared to open, but we just opened the doors one day and made no announcements or took out no ads because we didn't have the money for it anyway. And we were busy. And I don't know how people found out we were opening. I have no idea to this day. But there was a line of people waiting to get in. Wow. And it's like, oh.
And it's been going ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been very fortunate that, you know, we have our slow times like everybody else, and the economy kind of hit us a little bit. But for the most part, we've been very busy, we are very appreciative of we have a very loyal our customers are very loyal and probably as loyal as we are to them.
I know you take some chances on the, or what some folks might consider taking chances on the people you employ. You hire some ex-convicts, recovering addicts, that sort of thing.
Well, initially, it just started out. That's what we got a lot of people that were desperately looking for something, and we were there. And because you figure that people have to make a living, and so if they're not doing what they used to do, and they're willing to work hard, because there's no easy way to work at Sweet Potatoes except for hard, then we would take a chance on them. And because they're taking a chance on a restaurant, which is iffy at best. It's not like a fact. Well, it's not as solid or, you know, as other industries. So you do take a chance when you come work for a restaurant.
And when you hire anybody, you're taking a chance anyway. Anybody who's got been in business for any length of time has had some problems with employees, whether or not they've come out of it.
All the time. And this industry is a revolving door. But we've been fortunate in that we've had some people that have been with us since we opened. And that's rare. We don't have as big a turnover as a lot of places do. But I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen people go from job to job to job, and that's just the way the industry is.
So I got to ask you, people who love to cook, folks always say, well, you ought to open a restaurant, and the worry is that they're going to start to hate to cook if it becomes a business. How about you?
I still love to cook, and it's, unfortunately, it's very difficult sometimes to find the time to cook when you're running a business, and so I make sure that I'm there. We're there every day. And so we always have our hand in it so that we don't we love what we do, and we're very fortunate that we can do what we love to do and make a living at it.
We're glad you do, and we're glad you share it with us every day on Trade Street and now in your new cookbook, Well, Shut My Mouth. Stephanie Tyson, thank you so much for being
thank
on
you.
The State of
Texas.
Stephanie Tyson is co-owner of Sweet Potatoes Restaurant in Winston-Salem, the author of Well, Shut My Mouth, the Sweet Potatoes Restaurant cookbook. Thanks to Molly McGinn is also for being with us today on The State of Things. Molly is going to be playing at the Community Arts Cafe in downtown Winston-Salem on Thursday, November 3rd. So if you haven't gotten enough of her here, please go see her on November 3rd. And thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. Our producers are Amber Nimix and Alex Granados. Jilly Mueller is our intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. Managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. We're going to be back for another broadcast at the Upstage Cabaret in Greensboro on November 17th. We'd love to see you here. You can visit stateofthings.org for more information. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, Molly McGinn.
Tears in the sea, so salt my water and heal me. So when you leave me better than you found me. Shake off your sugar coat and speak naturally. Choose your words carefully and mean what you speak, 'cause there's a world of a difference between love and in love with me. And that's not what I. Sun-washed blues. I need faded hues, and I wanna laugh till I cry, and I wanna love till I die, and I wanna dance till I sweat. Better than you found me.